It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like. Out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly. A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm your host, Amber May, and welcome to the Amber May Show. We are starting to look at the book of Daniel. I think there's a lot of great things that we can pull out of it, so I'm really excited to get that going. Last week, we talked about chapter 1, and it set the stage for us of what we can expect. We found out some background about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and we found that King Nebuchadnezzar conquered Judah because Judah wasn't following God's standards, and they were practicing a lot of sinful acts, and it's really hard. When you have the gospel and you know the truth, and then you go against the truth, judgment's going to pour on you harder than if you didn't know it to begin with. So we're going to look at Daniel. We're going to see in all these situations that Daniel and his friends went through, how they stood firm to God and what God instructed them to do. As a result, they were able to be a witness to a world leader. How many of us get the chance to sit with the president or the prime minister and be able to witness to them? It's not every day. So these four young men had a great task in front of them. It's pretty exciting. So this book is a really exciting book because a lot of things happen to them and a lot of things come out that could teach us a lot about our own personal life. So we're going to be looking at chapter 2 today. So don't go away.
Don't go away. Amber May will be right back.
With the rapid pace of technology advancements, purchasing computers or networking your business's workstations can become confusing and frustrating. Let LPGA Technology Control help provide answers to all your computer-related needs. Whether you have one computer or a 50 workstation network, we can help plot a course to make the best use of your investment. LPGA Technology Control provides consulting, installation, and upgrade products and services for systems of all sizes. Visit us on the web at www.lpga.net or give us a call at 623-873-8888. That's 623-873-8888.
Hi, this is Amber May, and I found some of the best burgers and gyros in town, and I have to tell you about it. You have to go visit Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue in Peoria, right in the Target Shopping Plaza on the southwest corner. This is a family-owned and operated business, and they have awesome food. They even have the Amber May special. So if you're hungry, make sure you go check out Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue in Peoria. Everything is made fresh, and they have a $2.99 burger and fries special. That's at Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue and Peoria.
Come and visit my parents' restaurant and make sure you check out the Amber May special while you are there. It's so good.
Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance Agency. We're your one-stop solution to quality insurance. We offer personalized coverage for your home, auto, life, and business needs. Let the office of Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance help you get back to where you belong. We offer life insurance and universal life plans to protect your family. We're here for your financial needs while offering IRA tax-sheltered annuities, too. Let us protect your insurance needs along with bringing you peace of mind. Let us insure your future. Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance. Call 623-925-9411. 623-925-9411.
You're listening to the Amber May Show.
Welcome back to the Amber May Show. And here we begin with chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell them what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, This is what I firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turn into a pile of rubble. Oh, that's great. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you'll receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Once more, they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it. The king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologer answered, there is no man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty he might be, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this time, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to the house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might be not executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He keeps up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men in Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men in Babylon. Take me to the king. I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he had asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dreams and visions have passed through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than any other living man, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in presence. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its bellies and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, not by human hands. It struck the statue on the feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, then the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken into pieces at the same time. And because like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer, the wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are kings of kings. The God of heavens has given you dominion and power and might and glory in your hands, and has placed mankind and beasts of the field and birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over all of them. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks into pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so that this will be a divided kingdom. Yet, it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the visions of the rock cut out of a mountain, not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold into pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished him with many gifts. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. The king was so disturbed by the dream, so he wanted it interpreted. He didn't want his wise men to make up the meaning. He told his wise men to tell him the dream and interpret it for him, or else they would die. The wise men consisted of magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. They pleaded with the king that no man could tell what someone else dreamed unless it came from a god. Well, they were half right. It would take a divine intervention for someone to say what someone else dreamt. But there was only one God, and he alone would be the only one who would be able to reveal what someone else dreamed. Since none of the wise men could tell the king the dream he had and interpret it, the king ordered all the wise men be put to death. This included Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel approached the commander of the king's guard about the decree, and Daniel went to the king and told the king he would interpret it and tell him the dream. He just needed a couple of days, and the king would have his answer. So Daniel asked his friends to pray for the mystery to be revealed. Daniel acted by faith because he knew the God he served would never leave him nor forsake him. In verse 27, Daniel is able to start witnessing to the king. Seeds are being planted. Listen to what Daniel says. "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mysteries he had asked about." Verse 28, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come." Daniel tells about a large statue and what the statues mean. God's revealing to the king the destruction of four kingdoms, the Babylonian, Medo-Persia, Grecian, and Roman. If Daniel hadn't walked by faith and put his trust in God of heaven, then he and his friends and many other men would have died. Because Daniel sought after the Lord and feared God, Daniel was able to have his life and other men's lives spared from death. Daniel also began introducing his God to the king of Babylon. What if Daniel did not do as God instructed him? He would have died, others would have died, and the king may not have been introduced to the one and only God. No characteristics wins the hearts of adults more quickly than wisdom in the words and actions of a young person. Daniel and his friends had been taken from their homes in Judah and exiled. Their futures were in doubt, but they all had personal traits that qualified them for the job as servants in the king's palace. They took advantage of the opportunity without letting the opportunity take advantage of them. Our first hint of Daniel's greatness comes in his quiet refusal to give up his convictions as he applied God's will to his own life, and he resists changing the good habits he had formed. Both his physical and spiritual diets were an important part of his relationship with God. Lessons we learn from this chapter: quiet convictions often earn long-term respect. Don't wait until you are in a tough situation to learn about prayer. God can use people wherever they are. In verse 47, Nebuchadnezzar honored Daniel's God. If Daniel had taken the credit himself, the king would have only honored Daniel. But because Daniel gave God credit, the king was able to realize that Daniel's God was the one who could answer the king's desires for understanding. It's really easy for us to take credit, but we must always remember we are only a vessel to be used by God. We may benefit by being a vessel, as Daniel was given more authority in Babylon. Part of our mission in this world is to show unbelievers what God is like. We can do that by giving God credit for what he does in our lives. That is such a key to all of our lives. Don't wait until something hard comes into your life to begin praying. Start your relationship with God now. If you don't know the promises of God, how can you stand when storms hit you? You have to be close to God, and the only way you can be close to God is reading the Word, studying what he has to say, praying with him, having a conversation with God. It's not hard to have a conversation. You just start telling God what's on your heart, and you know what? He's going to open doors for you that may have been shut. He's going to make a way where there is no way. I mean, Daniel could have died right there and then, but he knew the God he served. That's important for us to know. Who is the God that we serve? And let's put his promises to the test. If we stand and he orders us to do something, let's follow through. Because just like Daniel, he survived death. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you'll see in the following chapter, he survived death. God can make a way where there is no way.
It's time now for your Love Dare Challenge.
Live with your wives in an understanding way and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. 1 Peter 3:7. There are certain words in our language that have powerful meanings. Whenever these words are used, an air of respect is associated with them. These words never lose their timeless quality, class, and dignity. One of these will be our focus for today. It is the word honor. To honor someone means to give the respect and high esteem, to treat them as being special and of great worth. When you speak to them, you keep your language clean and understandable. You are courteous and polite. When they speak to you, you take them seriously, giving their words weight and significance. When they ask you to do something, you accommodate them, if at all possible, simply out of respect for who they are. The Bible tells us to honor our father and mother, as well as those in authority. It is a call to acknowledge the position or value of someone else. Honor is a noble word. This is especially true in marriage. Honoring your mate means giving him or her your full attention, not talking to them from behind a newspaper or with one eye on the television. When decisions are being made that affect both of you or your whole family, you give your mate's voice and opinion equal influence in your mind. You honor what they have to say. They matter, and because of the way you treat them, they should know it. But there's another word that calls us to a higher place, a word that isn't often equated with marriage, though its relevance can be understated. It's a word that actually forms the basis for honor, the very reason why we give respect and high regard to our husband or wife. That word is holy. To say your mate should be holy to you doesn't mean that he or she is perfect. Holiness means they are set apart from a higher purpose, no longer common or everyday, but special and unique. A person who has become holy to you as a place no one can rival in your heart. He or she is sacred to you, a person to be honored, praised, and defended. A bride treats her wedding dress this way. After wearing it on a special day, she covers and protects it, then sets it apart from everything else in her closet. You won't catch her in it when she's working in the yard or going out to town. Her wedding dress has a value all its own. In this way, it is holy and sacred to her. When two people marry, each spouse becomes holy to each other by way of holy matrimony. This means no other person in the world is supposed to enjoy this level of commitment and endearment from you. Your relationship is like no other. You share physical intimacy with only her, only him. You establish a home with this person. You bear your children with this person. Your heart, your possessions, your life itself is to be wrapped up in the uncommon bond you share with this one individual. Is that the way it is in your marriage? Would your mates say you honor and respect them? Do you consider them set apart and highly valued? Holy? Perhaps you don't feel this way, and maybe for good reason. Perhaps you wish some outsider could see the level of disrespect you get from your wife or husband. Someone who would make your mate feel embarrassed to be exposed for who they really are behind closed doors. But that's not the issue with love. Love honors, even if it's rejected. Love treats its beloved as special and sacred, even when an ungrateful attitude is all you get in return. It's marvelous. Of course, when a husband and wife are joined in this purpose, when they're following the biblical command to be devoted to one another in love, when they're giving preference to one another in honor, Romans 12:10. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, Hebrews 13:4. But when your attempt at honor goes unreciprocated, you are to give honor just the same. That's what love dares to do, to say, of all the relationships I have, I will value ours the most. Of all the things I am willing to sacrifice, I will sacrifice the most for you. With all the failures, sins, mistakes, and faults past and present, I still choose to love and honor you. That's how you create an atmosphere for love to be rekindled. That's how you lead your heart to truly love your mate again. And that's the beauty of honor. So this week's Love Dare. Choose a way to show honor and respect to your spouse that is above your normal routine. It may be holding the door for her. It might be putting his clothes away for him. It may be the way you listen and speak in your communication. Show your mate that he or she is highly esteemed in your eyes. In your journal, how do you choose to show honor? What was the result? What are some other ways you can demonstrate honor in the coming days?
That's been your Double Dog Love Dare.
Chevy's Restaurant has been so kind to give away one free adult meal and two free children's meals. You will have to go to the Arrowhead Mall location on Bell and 77th Avenue. Make sure you say hello to Ramon, the manager. Chevy's is such a wonderful restaurant. Every Tuesday, kids eat free. And at the Arrowhead Mall location, they have helped several nonprofit foundations raise money. In order to win the free meal, you'll need to email me at theambermayshow.podbean.com without the W's. Just type in your web browser, theambermayshow.podbean.com, and there's a link to email me. So email me the answers, and I need your address so I can mail you your gift certificates. And that is thanks to Chevy's Restaurant. What is the measurement of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar built? My best friends, cards, and gifts, and I would like to begin wishing all my radio listeners a happy birthday beginning in October. Every month, we will have a drawing to see who will win a birthday gift from my best friends, cards, and gifts. cards and gifts. Please send me your cards with your name, birthday, address, and tell me a little bit about yourself so we can join in your celebration and you could win a gift. Send your cards to 2800 North 44th Street, Suite 100, Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. Email me by going to my website, theambermayshow.podbean.com, bravoedwardadamnora.com. No www in front of it, just in your web browser, you type in theambermayshow.podbean.com. So please write. You can do that by mailing me a letter, 2800 North 44th Street, Suite 100, Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. So today, when we read chapter 2 of Daniel, there was one other key that kind of stood out to me. And even when God gives us an assignment to do, we need help. We need prayer support. We need a sidekick, more or less, for a lack of a better word. We need someone to be with us and help us through the task that God gave us at times. And we saw that today. Daniel first went to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's who he first went to. And they prayed for him. They prayed that God would give him the answer to the mystery of what Nebuchadnezzar's dream is. So make sure as you're going through your assignment or your ministry or whatever it is, I want you to realize that you too need help, and God's going to put people in your life to help you, that the tasks he gives you are not too big to bear because he wouldn't do that to you. But take advantage of the help that God gives you and provides for you. Doesn't mean you can't do it on your own, but God always gives us support. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, think about number two, because eventually number two will look out for you.